You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
I'm enjoying this, chaps. I didn't realise we had a new jingle for the Specials Podcast. Dave Kelder here, alongside Reality Rob Dixon, first of all. Good afternoon, Mr. Dixon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Kelder.
And we also have Gav Lambert with us, who runs the website esctips.com and follows the Eurovision Song Contest religiously. Good afternoon, Gav.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I hear you're in Vienna as well for the big events.
Yeah, I'm just in the press centre now, waiting for the first rehearsal of the final. So this is the point where we actually see how everything sits and feels and contrasts against each other. So we should get a better impression after today's rehearsal.
You're going to have to, chaps, treat me like a complete Eurovision ignoramus this afternoon throughout the podcast. And my dad has always been a cynic of the competition, Gav. He's always said that it's purely political. Is that the case, Gav?
He's right. It is.
I won't tell him he's right, because the ego that man has.
it's totally right. Certain blocks vote for each other, but you always have to. If you look at all of the results over the last few years, maybe 2011 not accepted, the best songs always come to the fore.
Okay, let's spin through the betting first of all, Rob, and you can give us an idea of the market movers, and then we'll talk through each individual nation individually, and we'll go through it step by step. Sweden are the 13-8 favourites, Russia 3-1, Italy 100-30, Belgium 11-2, Australia are 10-1, Estonia 20-1, Israel 22s, and it's 25-1 bar. Give us an overall feel of how the market's developed over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, originally going back, we had the market out, I think it was towards the end of March this year, and prior to the national finals, we'd seen money on a few countries, but obviously once we get into the rehearsal stage over the last 2 weeks, that's where the big money's come through, and Sweden, I think they probably deserve favourites, really. The act Mats Zemelo won the national final there. He actually won it with the largest total of points that they've ever given in their national final, even beating sort of ABBA and Loreen from sort of a few years ago. So 13-8 stands. It's been steady away. It's been as short as 5-4.
Okay.
It's been on the drift a little bit since last night's semi-final. It's drawn sort of quite early on. Normally you want really as late a draw as possible in the final. Sweden's drawn 10, and you don't tend to get too many winners from the first half of the show unless you've got sort of the complete package. Whether Sweden's got the complete package is open a little bit to doubt, but at the moment it continues to be favourite, and it's expected to go off favourite tomorrow night.
And Gav, Mats Zemelo, he's bound to get the female vote, isn't he? He performed that rendition of Heroes in Vienna on Thursday, and everyone enjoyed that performance. And he's even taken the mickey out of Miley Cyrus in the past as well. So what's not to like about Mats Zemelo?
I wouldn't have Sweden read in my own book, but I think he's worth taking on. I think there seems to be a growing momentum of coverage echoing the similarities of the David Guetta song. So that's always a nasty taste when it comes to the juries having to mark. And don't forget, the juries have 50% of the total score, and they will submit their points later on. I don't think it's expected that Sweden will win the jury vote. So you hold a reliance on the televote propping up Sweden, and I don't think the televote will support Sweden as much as they need. The one thing about Mons is that, yeah, it's a great stage show, but he's very robotic, very rehearsed, almost a bit too cold. And I think the passion of some other songs in the running order, certainly towards the back end, or certainly a couple of songs after Mons, I think they have a greater chance of winning.
How is the vote split then between the televote and the jury vote?
Yeah, so we've got two rehearsals today. Tonight's rehearsal, the jurors will submit their points, and that's 50% of the entire vote. And then the televote, the viewers at home, they will submit their points, their televote, in running tomorrow night.
Okay. Okay, so because as a complete Eurovision novice here, I think a lot of people just assume it's the performance on the night that matters, and then it goes to the voting lines, and that's what counts. But that's not the case.
Yeah, which is what it's what it used to be. And in fact, going back to when Blue were in Eurovision, the BBC made the mistake of not telling them that it was the jury rehearsal on the night before the final, which is why they sang out of key. Which is why they got an awful jury point score. So it was quite surprising to see them outside the top 10. Whereas if the BBC had briefed them properly, they could have easily have been top 10 or maybe even top 5.
Let's talk about Russia then, Rob. Russia, a 3-1 in the market. Polina Gagarina is the singer for Russia. She had a pan-European upbringing in Greece. Only 28, but she's been in the industry for a while now, and she won Star Factory, which is a Russian reality singing contest, back in 2003. She's had numerous top 10 hits. She's got her own album, so she's quite well established, Polina Gagarina.
Yeah, I think if you can get as much sort of European sort of a push as possible, then it's obviously going to help you. Russia, one of the sort of big powerhouses. It's a strange one, Russia. They were 25-33-1 before the rehearsals. Based really on last year, they got quite roundly booed in the final, only finishing 15th. And I think a lot of people didn't really want to commit to a bet on Russia until they'd seen sort of the rehearsals and how the booing had changed. And there hasn't been any booing at all, really. They've been very proactive for Russia. I think they've done really well. They were strong favourites to win the first semi-final, which I think they probably have done. So I mean, they're as short now as 3-1, 130, 3-1. We are.
Yeah. Do the prices, Rob.
I do the prices. I do a lot of prices though. So I do have at my age forgetful vision. But I mean, 3-1. It does look a little bit too short now on paper, but. Obviously, without getting boos, that they get a push. Whether the EBU want to send them to Moscow next year is open to question now. So,
what do you think, Gav, about Russia's chances? Polina has been described as drop dead gorgeous, and I've seen the pictures. I can corroborate that particular story. And she has a lot of experience. She's singing A Million Voices, which is described as synth heavy with oodles of key changes.
I've always been cold to Russia winning the contest, just purely because of the politics. I still think it'll play a part. I don't think Russia are going to win the jury vote, and I also think they are still going to struggle for points from the West. So I'd probably say the price is a bit low at the moment. They were a great back a few weeks ago before rehearsals. Polina is great, though. She's kind of the Disney princess in this year's final. It's going to do very well. I think it'll get top 5. I just don't think it can win, even though it's got a very, very good slot. Mm. And it would be Sochi next year, I think, rather than Moscow.
What's the impact of the slot that Russia have been given then, Gav?
It's very Eastern heavy right towards that back end. You've got Georgia, Azerbaijan, Russia. So there's a lot of countries from the same block all competing for the same points. And then, of course, we're going to come to Italy. You've got Italy rounding off the show with what would potentially be number one or number two in the jury score.
Let's move on to Italy then, Rob. And Italy 100-30 in the betting. How has that price shifted since the market opened?
Well, Italy seems to have stayed pretty still, really. Not really. While we've seen sort of big swings, sort of Russia halved massively in price over the last few weeks. Italy's pretty much stayed the same. It started off as favourite when we opened, and then obviously after Matt's performance in the national final for Sweden, they became favourite. But I do like Italy. It's got the feel. It's got quite a nice feel of end of show feel as well. It's strong. My one downside is that they are still singing in Italian. It's been a long time since a non-English song has won Eurovision. So, but I think if anyone can do it, probably Italy can do it. You've seen the success of sort of Il Divo over here, Calabro winning Britain's Got Talent. If that can relate to sort of an Italian four-piece singing, then Italy are in with a stronger chance than Sweden and Russia.
The Italian trio, by the way, named Il Volo, an operatic entry, this one, Gav. And Italy have got a long-standing record in the competition. They've been in it 40 times and they've won it twice. And this is a world-famous band, isn't it, with a massive operatic following.
Very big in America, not so in Europe. They were formed in Italy after one of them won a contest, a youth contest. And then they went out to America, and they've done really well out of there. And they won the San Remo contest, which is where the Eurovision entry originated from. And it was expected to do quite well on the jury score and not so well on the televote, because the Italians were quite negative towards them, saying that, oh, they went off to America, they forgot their roots. But they actually won the televote by a huge margin, and they beat established Italian acts. So if you're looking for a winner or someone that can inspire quite a massive televote, the fact that Italy won in their own country by that margin against the established acts is impressive. Also going to the language, I think Italian as a European language is one of the most loved. And I think if you're looking for a hook, Grande Amore, that's two words that all of Europe can understand.
Yeah.
So I'm not as concerned about that. Plus, they're three telegenic guys. I mean, we see them on a daily basis. They're always really pushing the press around here. In terms of the Italian acts of the past, I've never seen anyone do as much press work as these guys. And I just think Europe are going to fall in love with them. In terms of the running order, I think it is a bit late. But they do pack a massive punch at the back end of the running order, and I think that's going to stick in people's memory. I think they're going to do quite well.
Yeah, they're 100-30, Italy. They sound like a decent bet at 100-30. Belgium, Rob, the only other country in there at a single-figure price here with William Hill in terms of the outright betting, 11-2 Belgium. They've been smashed up, haven't they, in the market?
Yeah, Belgium have been the big move over the last sort of 12 hours. We were 20-1 at the end of last night's second semi-final, and it's a mixture of a lot of things. There's a lot of sort of social media stuff on them this morning saying how well they've done. 13's quite a good slot. Sort of they're in with sort of Australia and Austria. It's quite a strong point for them there as well. They're a little bit just after Sweden as well. I think Gav will probably confirm, I think they're around where the break is as well in the show, which is obviously quite strong for them. It's really been a big move. We hardly saw a penny on them up to yesterday, and it's been pretty much a wave of bets this morning. I think about 20-30% of all bets this morning have been for Belgium. Currently 11-2. By the time the podcast comes out, we might even be shorter. So.
This is an entry, Gav, if I was picking purely on... I know it's more, you've got to be more detailed in your vision, but if I was just picking one that I liked the best, Belgium would be my selection. I think this is this entry Rhythm Inside got straight into the iTunes charts in 22 countries. It's a song that I think could really capture the Europeans' imaginations.
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, when the pre-selection season was upon us, January through to March, it was, you know, us kind of real Eurovision fanatics that were backing Belgium at three-figure odds. And then it came to rehearsals, and he unveiled this avant-garde quite cold staging. And he almost had the look of a serial killer, the way he was gazing down the camera. And that kind of put us off a little bit. And we sold a bit, we invested in other things and sold a bit of our green off. But something came together, something clicked during the semi-final. I think it was the full arena. You get the roar of the arena. I just think there's just that extra impetus on camera that really sold the Belgian package. I've had quite good information since that maybe Belgium topped the jury vote in that semi-final.
Yeah.
Maybe even won the semi-final and outdid Russia. So I think Belgium, certainly their position in this running order, being put after Sweden, after Australia. I think that kind of double whammy also counts against Sweden. But I think Belgium, finishing off the first half of the running order looks very, very good. Mm. They're going to top the jury vote, I think, again, if Italy doesn't. And given that it's already established on the iTunes chart, it's going to do very well on the televote. I think Belgium could definitely be a winner.
Yeah, and we're betting each way a quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So you could, Gav, be getting an each way bet for nothing there as well at 11-2.
I just think, yeah, if you're a late comer to the Eurovision party, that's where you want to be investing your money.
I agree. 11-2 Belgium looks strong. And as you know from previous experience, Rob, that serial killer looks never a good one. So hopefully he's remedied that.
No, you don't want the serial killer look. But yeah, I mean, it was a strong package in the semi-final. They couldn't have done any more. It was definitely a step up from the rehearsals. And if they get the same sort of reaction as they did in the hall on Tuesday night, then they're definitely there to be they're in with a chance of winning on tomorrow night.
Just before we get to the UK's entry, which is abysmal, by the way, just before we get there, let's talk about Australia. 10-1. A lot of people are just waking up for the first time and they see Australia in the betting here. Rob, they'll think you've got it wrong because we all know Australia is not in Europe. But this is a special for the 60th edition of the competition. They've been allowed an entrant and it's Guy Sebastian who's performing for the Aussies. Before we speak to Gav about this, how have they moved in the market?
Australia's a strange one, but it's sometimes when you do these things, especially sort of X Factor, Britain's Got Talent, you vote for the novelty act, and the fact that while Guy Sebastian's a good singer, the fact that Australia in it is being treated really a little bit like the novelty that they're in it just for 1 year and things like that. We opened at 14-1 when they announced that. That Australia were going to be in it. That quickly got slashed to sort of 5-6-1. That there was quite a rumour that they were going to be allowed to win it, and that seems to have subsided now. 10-1 to me just does look a little bit too short. But I think they will pick up enough jury votes, fan votes, to be in with a chance. They probably not topping any. They're probably in the sort of top 5 or 6 for both, and hence why they're. They're sort of just in the top 5 in the betting still.
And for a guy, Gav, with such an established career, I mean, he's had 6 number one singles, 2 chart-topping albums, a US platinum hit with Battle Scars, and he's sold more than 3 million singles worldwide, but the Australians didn't really want him, did they?
I struggle with Australia. I was never a big fan of the song, to be honest, and I've almost kind of followed the herd a little bit, and now I've kind of taken my own mindset and said, right, well, this isn't winning. A couple of reasons. Australia have been given this kind of preferential treatment. They got a pass into the final, and they were allowed to vote on both of the semi-finals. And I think some countries that may have lost out as a result of that might think, well, who do Australia think they are?
Yeah.
So when it comes to their juries and their televote, I don't think all of Europe is that affiliated with Australia. So I'm not expecting them to do particularly well. I think the jury will have them maybe, top 10, and I think the televote will probably have them top 10. So I think anywhere between kind of 5th and 10th would be a finishing spot for Australia. And then go... kind of taking on the X Factor narrative. This one-off for Australia, it doesn't look as if it's going to happen. It looks as if it's going to be permanent now. And that's almost like a journey end. So when they want to kill someone off in X Factor, they talk about them past tense or just end the journey, that this is a one-off and they've got to win to stay in the contest. Not at all. Australia are staying by the looks of it, so journey's end for me.
Yeah, OK. Australia not for Gav then at 10-1. It's 20-1 and bigger the rest. And the United Kingdom, one of those that are 20-1 and bigger. 40-1, the UK, Rob. The United Kingdom has a proud record in the Eurovision, but not in the 21st century, Rob. They've won the event in 67, 69, 76, 81 and 97, and runners-up on a record 15 occasions. But they finished last in 2003, last in 2008, and last in 2010. And Electro Velvet, this year's entry, they just seem, well, as I mentioned earlier, very, very poor. I don't rate them in the slightest, Rob.
You've put your colours to the mouth there, haven't you?
What do you think?
No, I pretty much agree with everything.
It seems too long, the song.
It's the one thing the song has going for it, I thought, when I first heard it, was it wasn't a ballad. It was quite a quirky sort of, almost to me like a sort of Disney song. And I thought, well, yeah, maybe if it's produced well, if it gets a good spot in the running order, if they get the people behind it, then yeah, I think it might have a chance of getting, maybe sneaking a top 10. The public hasn't really got behind it. It's not getting the push it needs. It's got an early slot. It's gone, basically. It is our worst result in the book, and to be quite honest, come 8 o'clock tomorrow night, it will still be the worst result in the book. But I'll be absolutely amazed if it finished anywhere higher than probably 15th.
You must love it, Rob. You must love it attracting that mug money.
Oh, people who back the United Kingdom in Eurovision are the equivalent of people who are backing England to win cricket and football World Cups. It's never going to happen, right? I've never seen it happen in our life. I've never seen us win. Apart from the Rugby World Cup, that's the only one that I've seen us win a major sporting event. Eurovision, how old? I was 20 when we won the last Eurovision. Not happened for 18 years, and it won't be happening in the 19th year either.
You don't look a day over 40, Rob.
Thank you, mate.
Gav, what do you make to the UK's entry?
I'm surprised the bookies aren't offering 1,000-1 because that's the chances. I tell you what, last night's semi-final painted a perfect juxtaposition, because during the kind of half-time interval where they were interviewing the top five, the automatic qualifiers, you had Bianca and Alex from the UK, and you had Alex playing his ukulele and going, all right. And then all of a sudden, they cut to Italy and Evola. And it's almost like walking out of Burton's into Armani. the contrast was huge. You had these telegenic Italian lads, all smartly dressed, talking Italian, going grande amore, tutti bene, and all that kind of stuff. It's coming last, and I think the only thing that can save it is maybe France, maybe Albania can save its blushes. But the trouble is that the difference with the voting structure, as it was a few years ago, is that the jurors have to rank things 1 to 27, and same with the televote. So let's say the televote ranks something first, but the jurors rank something 27th. Mm. It totally cancels out the points. And okay. I think the jurors will cancel out UK more than anything. And the only countries it's likely to get support from is Ireland and Australia. And even that will be low, because actually Australia, they're going to be voting in the morning. We're not sure yet whether they're going to meet their televote threshold, which means it would be 100% jury score. And what right-minded jury is going to award United Kingdom high points?
No, that's a very fair point. They're actually, Rob's put some specials out on the United Kingdom, and they are 9-4 to finish last. Has that price shifted at all, Rob?
No, not really. The finishing last, to get nil point in the final, we've been as big as 16-1, and we're now 6. That's been more popular than the to finish last markets.
So to get nil point,
they are likely to. You can't have a double on both, unfortunately. No. So.
I had a double on the nil point this morning. Even though I don't think it'll happen, I still think they'll get 1 or 2 points. But yeah, that was a big price. Not to be sniffed at.
Do you like them to finish last then, Gav? 9-4, do you think that's a good price?
I just think investing in UK to finish last is a pretty sound bet.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to finish above 20th, so definitely.
Gav, we've been through the leading contenders. We've talked about the United Kingdom as well. Any other nations stand out? If you're looking maybe for... We've got top 10 betting here with William Hill. If you're looking for maybe a bigger price to sneak into the top 10...
Yeah, I think Romania could be a very good one to go top 10. There's a lovely narrative to this, and that the guy, the lead singer, I can't think of his name, but he's singing about Romanians that have had to leave home to go and find work across Europe and have left their kids behind. And he fronts a charity as well. So there's a really strong narrative that attracts Romania's diaspora, of which Romania's diaspora is massive across Europe. So I think that's going to get quite a few points. I would be looking for that top 10, but I'd also potentially looking for top Balkan for that as well.
Yeah, they're 7-2 to be the top Balkan country. That includes Serbia, Slovenia, Greece, Albania and Montenegro. And if you're looking at top 10, Romania... 5-2 in the top 10 market.
Yeah, I'd be taking that. I've taken bigger. But yeah, I think Romania are that dark horse. That's it. And they've got a nice running order slot as well. But aside from Romania, maybe Latvia. Latvia is... I think that also came top 3 in jury score last night. And I think it could do quite well tonight. So you've got a lot of Latvians around the world as well.
Yeah.
So that could also be top 10.
That's 4-6 Latvia to be top 10. What bets do you like then, Rob?
I've not really had that many bets this year, considering what I normally have. I've followed Gavin. I know that Gav likes the Latvia thing, and I've backed Latvia each way in the top 10. I liked Serbia's performance on Tuesday night as well. I think that did really well in that first semi-final, and I certainly wouldn't be put off a Serbia top 10 finish as well. That's at 6-4.
6-4 Serbia.
I would just contrast that, actually. Instead of Serbia, I'd be more tempted to invest in Israel. Even though it's third, that went down an absolute storm last night. And Israel have qualified for the first time in what seems like ages. And that golden boy is... It's absolutely amazing on stage. I think that potentially beats Serbia.
Israel are 13-8 in the betting. Serbia 6-4. So Israel 13-8, the better bet for Gav, and Rob going with Serbia at 6-4. Gav, just summarise your thoughts on the 2015 Eurovision just before you leave us.
Really high quality as opposed to last year, which only had one or two high quality songs. So yeah, it's a brilliant. Brilliant year this year. I think the only depressing side about it is that there's so many ballads and they've all been crammed into the second half. So people need to get drunk during the first half and enjoy the second half.
Definitely. If I have to watch it, I will be getting drunk while doing so. Rob?
Well, I won't be getting drunk. Unfortunately, I'll be in the office hoping for a decent result for the company. So obviously a Latvia winner be perfect for me. I'll be avoiding Israel, and if the United Kingdom win, you'll never see me again.
Who do you expect to win, Gav?
At the moment, I'm going to go with Belgium.
Yeah, I like Belgium. Belgium 11-2 here with William Hill, but the best bet probably Latvia in that top 10 market or top Balkan here with William Hill at 5-2 and 7-2 respectively. Chaps, thank you for your company on the podcast. It's been a rare treat. Lee Phelps will be back for more specials podcast action, where I suppose there'll be some reflection on Eurovision next week. Rob, thank you for your company.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you, Gav.
Cheers.
And thanks to everyone for listening to us. Remember, you can download this via iTunes and get us on audioboom.com as well. Dave Kellner signing off here. A thank you to Rob Dixon and Gav Lambert, who runs the website esctips.com. And again, thank you to everyone for listening, and we'll be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.